Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. Happy 4th of July on a Baltimore positive weekend here. At some point, I'll get the razor out and get myself together. I'm on a shaving strike until the Orioles get to 500. I'm just kidding. We're going to be doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour next Friday at Fadley's at Lexington Market. Somewhere around here, I have my Maryland Lottery scratch-offs that I can't wait to give away because the horses, Ocean City, Boardwalk, Ocean City, Blackwater on the road to Ocean City, and I sent some people down at Eastern Shore for some crab cakes, and then I got to get across the Bay Bridge to get there. This guy doesn't do the Bay Bridge. He just goes straight across Pennsylvania to Wildwood doing his summer vacation in and around July. I will be at the Major League Baseball All-Star Game in Philadelphia 2 weeks from now because Baltimore's getting the game in 2030. That's 3-0. Luke Jones joins us now. He is been sweating it out, sweating it with the oldies out at Oriole Park at Camden. Although did they leave the AC on in the what's going on in the state funded Jim Henneman altered press box that has moved toward third base?
I cannot complain at all about the heat. It's enclosed. The AC. It's funny. I was actually joking with someone the other day about this. They crank the AC so much that
you have to bring
more
a sweater.
Often than not,
Yeah.
I bring a jacket with me.
Uh-huh.
Now, I did not wear it on Wednesday. There were a couple windows just cracked just to hear the ambience a little bit, but
Was there
yeah,
any ambience?
Not a whole lot.
Yeah. We
Not
went
a whole
so
lot.
earlier this week we did, and if you're listening out on AM 1570 or follow us anywhere, YouTube, Facebook, wherever you, and thank you for following us. We appreciate that. So do our sponsors. Farnan and Dermer's got us out on the road. GBMC next Friday. Fadley's, come on down. We'll have a good time. I got some good guests. Luke and I are gonna break down what we would see next Friday as the All-Star Game preview. You're going on vacation, I'm going to Philly. All-Star, like, to think that they could be 500 at the All-Star break was not foolhardy when they're 2, 3, 4, 5 under, when they're not sinking. They're in the midst of this huge homestand. They're going to go to Cincinnati for the holiday, come back. No better place to be than the Great American Ballpark. I hope they get some Grater's ice cream, just a regular salted caramel. I don't need the chocolate in that. I don't know when we start reading rights on the team and talk about it's time to deal Rutschman, although you opened that can of whoop ass on Monday earlier in the week. And they're coming off a victory as we record this because they won on Wednesday afternoon on a scorcher. But in a general sense, the Helsley thing, where it is, I don't believe in the manager. I don't believe in the general manager. And more than that, and you know, Marty Conway is going to come on next week. I know he was on with Lock and Four this week. I would encourage everybody to check that out because I like unfiltered Marty and unfiltered Lock and Four. We need more unfiltered. We need you unfiltered. We need everybody unfiltered because this is, other than you having air conditioning in the billion-dollar, you know, stadium that they've done there, I can't think of anything about any of this, any of it, any of it. From the minute that I met that creepy Whistler guy who lied to me, we're going on now 27 months ago, right? I mean, it's, you know, 28 months ago. This isn't Peter Angelos or Blame It on Fredo anymore. This is like, this is an ownership issue all the way around for their sport, for the lockout at the end of the year. And no one's outraged. We just gave these freaking people a half a billion dollars to bake the ballpark, to turn home plate into a dungeon. The team stinks. Everybody's pissed at them. Even the people that like them are like free the birds pissed, like I was when Angelo squirted me and screwed me on 30 grand. So to watch Rob Long come on every day and watch Melanie win her awards. And yeah, by the way, Ben McDonald channels Brooks, which is cool. Like, I want to say that the broadcast, because it's a television show to me, but it's a television show that you and I are going to watch because it's what we do. People are going to wait bye-bye. We got World Cup games coming this week. U.S. is playing, you know, like 4th of July. Raskin's in Delaware. Everybody's going to the beach, whatever. You're going to Wildwood. You can really disappear from them if you want to. Dude, this is horrible. This is an unthinkable outcome 28 months ago when that guy came up to me and treated me like a human being on opening day from that moment. And you'll go back to the Philly series 2 years ago and all, but this is a disaster. I mean, it is an absolute disaster all the way around, and they might not even play an opening day next year, and they're not even in control of that.
Yeah, I mean, look, we'll get into the big picture that you're talking about, and I can't sit here and disagree with you, but it's very simple. I mean, I think back to Memorial Day as we're now to 4th of July weekend, and I think it was very simple at that point in time. The hope was you were going to be in a better position at the 4th of July than you were at Memorial Day, and they're not. Now, look, I mean, we could sit here and say, okay, well, they were 8 games under 500 going into that long homestand that was right around the Memorial Day weekend, and they're 8 games under 500 at this point, but that's not the idea. And part of that is, okay, you tread water that long, you also have 6 fewer weeks on the schedule to get better, and you've also fallen further behind in the wild card race. I mean, it's yeah, it this has been wildly disappointing. And you said to you made mention of where it was a little over 2 years ago, you know, opening day 24. To think that they'd be in this position right now, it's not just this year. It happened last year also, right? I mean, it's not just a bad
This
season.
is a
It's
new
two
ownership
calendar
problem.
years.
This is a Steve Cohen local issue for these guys to say, "Welcome to Baltimore. We're going to make bobbleheads. We're going to sit behind home plate. We're going to act like the part, even though we're going to come in and treat people like me like shit." And I didn't like it, and I still don't like it. And you know who else is getting treated poorly? Everybody else. I haven't met anybody that has anything good to say about any of this. Any of it on the field, off the field, in the just in a general sense, all the money they've spent on making the sound system better, like whatever. The network's terrible, doesn't exist. They haven't fixed that. All they did was divorce themselves from the Nationals. They're just on a different channel. It's got a different name. It's two down on my dial. I don't watch them either. By the way, Nationals are good. They're about 500. Like it took me a minute to realize, like, oh, they're not a doormat. They're like they might make the playoffs. Like, so I don't know what they're doing. And you know what they're not doing? Anything. Did you see that ad I shared last week? It looked like the Royal Farms commercials, like it's made with AI. Like it was an ad about it was like a generic come back to the ballpark for the excitement and a picture of Gunnar. And like I'm getting served a paid ad on social media that like I don't know what they have. They're going to do bobbleheads and they're going to do all of that, I guess. But like, I can't recommend them. You know what I mean? In any way. I've met Katie Griggs, thumbs down. I've met Rubenstein, thumbs down. I met Arrighetti, might have been the worst of all of them. At least Katie Griggs pretended. And Rubenstein wanted to give me an autograph. Albernaz comes across on TV like this is a bad show. I mean, it's for the fans here for trying to sell baseball tickets to people in Middle River. Just all of it. Just I don't I just all of it. And you've been out there sweating it out. Nobody's going to the games. I don't know what they're going to do. Like I'm bitching. Great. I'm done bitching now. Let's get a strategy. What are they going to do?
They're not winning. And like I said, I'll continue to come back to you can give away all of this or all of that. And you can dress up the ballpark however you want. You can even fix Masson, right? Which isn't really a thing because regional sports networks are going away
I'm
in
going to put
general,
Greg
right?
Bader on that.
But
We're going to put Greg Bader on to fix Masson.
it still comes back to what I said to you. I don't know if we said this on the air or we were just talking in general because, you know, from time to time, you and I will just talk shop as far as where the team is, where the franchise is, but you can do all those other things. It's like having a restaurant that has a great atmosphere and you might have good live music and this or that, but if the food's not good, you're not going to go back, right? I mean, like, you're just not. Like, you might visit it and check in every from time to time, but you're not going to make that a regular part of your rotation, so to speak.
By the way,
So
the only $20 I've ever spent at Camden Yards since the Free the Birds, literally, was on a Heritage Barbecue sandwich. My wife was hungry at that Astros game, and it was
it
delicious.
was great.
So I'm just
Yeah.
saying, it was
And
delicious. The
that's
food was
good. And that's
delicious.
good. Hey, that's a good thing.
I love my
Like,
friends at Heritage Barbecue. Get down on York Road, support them before they move.
they need more of that, certainly too, right?
Damn, it's the
I'm not
best
suggesting those
brisket
things.
sandwich I've ever had in my life at Camden Yards.
I'm not suggesting those things aren't important. I'm not suggesting there isn't value to that, but again, at the same time, it's a professional sport. It's a professional sports
That they are
franchise. And
charging a premium nut for.
sure. I mean,
Period.
I did see they're doing a promo here for the month of July, where what they're doing 1776 for tickets, which okay, great, but
Is this where I
who
whistle
wants?
Yankee Doodle Dandy, or does ASCAP come after me? I don't
But
know.
who wants to come watch right now? Like, if we're just other than if you're getting a bobblehead or a floppy hat or a Hawaiian shirt or whatever, because the product's poor.
I already got a Hawaiian shirt. Farnan and Durham are
There you
getting me one. It
go.
looks
There you
great,
go.
too.
But I mean, I think, you know, just to bring it back to the field, here in the here and now, looking at the micro a little bit. I mean, this was the stretch where they had 12 of their final 15 before the All-Star break at home. They had beaten the Dodgers 2 out of 3, even though they had, you know, they had the hiccup then in Anaheim, which was a disappointing end to the West Coast trip, but it wasn't a disastrous West Coast trip. But you're thinking, okay, you've got 6 against the Nationals and the White Sox, who, yes, are both better than the Orioles, but they're not juggernauts. This is your chance. And then you go to Cincinnati, and then you've got 6 more before the All-Star break. If you can rip off a, I don't know, 8-4, 9-3, you're within striking distance of 500 at the All-Star break. Now you're in a position after you lost the series, felt really bad in the process, even on Wednesday when there was nothing to complain about on the field. I mean, Dean Kramer was good in his return. Tyler O'Neill, of all people, was a standout performer. And you're saying, okay, there's at least a shred of optimism. Ryan Helsley, his elbow's hurting again, right? And even if we're not going to talk about the worst case scenarios, even if this is another, hey, inflammation like back in late April, well, he missed 7 weeks. You take
Elbows
the
and pitchers, dude.
right. I mean, but no, but I'm just saying, even if he's not, even if we're not going to talk, I'm not going to recklessly speculate that, oh, he's definitely going to have Tommy John surgery. He might,
Well, he
but
couldn't pitch on Wednesday, and he's probably not going to pitch next Wednesday,
well,
right? That's
but
probably where
that's
we
the
are.
thing, right? I mean, he just came off of a 7 week layoff for elbow inflammation. He was only back on the roster for 2 weeks, and now his elbow is bothering him again. Even if it's another minimum 7 weeks, that takes you into late August at that point in time, right? That's probably the best case scenario. So
Getting late
here
early, Lucas. It is getting late.
it is. I mean, and look, is it over yet? No, of course not, because we know the state of the American League, but you are very much starting to tread into the territory of, without having some kind of long winning streak, you know, winning 9 in a row, winning 10 in a row, ripping off, I don't know, 13 of 15, something like that. That's where it's really starting to, you really start to look at it. And they've fallen back in the wild card race even, right? I mean, they had fallen, they were 9 games under on Tuesday night. They had fallen back to 5 back from the final wild card spot. And also, oh yeah, you also have 4 or 5 other teams ahead of them in that race. So yeah, it's getting late in that regard. It really is. And I think for me, the optics, I mean, it's more than optics. They've just played poorly, right? They're 40-48 going into this
They don't
Red
hit
Series.
well. They don't catch well. They pitch okay some of the time. Like, the
But even
pitching's been
just,
better than most of it, quite frankly, I
I mean,
think.
the one area that's actually been pretty darn consistent over the last 6, 7 weeks, their rotation's been pretty darn solid, actually. I mean, and Dean Kramer now replaces Trey Gibson, who, you know, Gibson was awful on Tuesday night. You know, they're starting five. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's elite by any stretch of the imagination. And they're going to have to figure out Bradish in terms of his workload. I mean, like, you know, I don't think he's going to throw 180 innings, right? I mean, I don't think he's going to be
In a
in that
season where
space.
he's taking the ball August 18th and they're 8 under .500, I don't think
Well,
so.
I'm talking in terms of the right. I mean, I agree with you there.
Yeah, I mean, like,
Obviously,
if this thing goes the wrong way, they just ice him
then you'll
down a little bit. That's all.
you will ease off on the gas. But
Sure.
I'm trying to lay out the scenario for trying to
Right. If
stay
they're
in
going to
this
try to
thing.
stay in it, they're going to have to
Yeah.
wear him out.
But
He's going to have to be ready every fifth day and get 7 innings out of him.
the rotation that's the one part of this that even with the injuries that they had with Eflin, with Kramer missing as much time as he did, with Bassett being bad and then now being absent, their rotation since the mid the May 20th, right around then, go look where it
For all of the
ranks.
trauma, the Brandon Youngs and the Dean Kramers have done enough to bail them out.
I mean, Brandon Young's been one of their most valuable players, right? I mean, he's been a wild surprise, you
Let me
know,
say
very
something here.
pleasant,
I want to
but
honor my father because, and maybe your dad used this term. You said, man, if they ripped off a 13-2 or a 12-5, like if they played that well, I would say to you back in March, that's not over their head. My dad, over their head, right? That, like you said about Tampa back in May, they played over their heads in April. Like they're not going to play 700 ball, and they might not. But I look up, they're still better than the Yankees over, more than half the track. We're coming around the backstretch now here, right? And I look at the Orioles and think, what is over their heads? Like if they played 12-3, you and I would say, oh, this is all that potential they've been talking about. We have so much potential, potential, potential. We have 10 guys, potential 30 home run guys. We have, six guys that can steal 30 bases. We have, they don't have anybody who can catch the ball. I mean,
Right.
they can't make any case to me for that. But we can run, we can hit, we can situational. Couser's going to come around. Rutschman has come around. Gunner's Gunner. He's a aircraft carrier. Like all of the things that Jackson Holliday's a 1-1. Of course, he's going to hit 429 for 3 weeks, and we're going to go on a tear, hit six home runs, and look like Robbie Alomar in August or something like that. Like, I wouldn't say it's over their head to catch fire, because I'm the idiot that believed they were going to win 92 games for all of the names you gave me. Now, those names were Bassett and Eflin, not Kramer and Young and Gibson, right? But either Gibson. Bob, Kyle, any of the Gibsons, Stan, Sam, any of the Gibsons I know. But for me, the over their head part is probably the part that's so disappointing, because you and I still sit here and believe that these particular players, even Tyler O'Neill, you said something, because he hit 30 home runs 2 years ago. It's not like it's not, these aren't Major League Baseball. Now, Coby Mayo, Jackson Holliday, some of these guys that have never really done it at all. Okay, I mean, I'll hear that. But in a general sense, to think that these guys could all come on, that Colton Cowser could go back to being rookie of the year and be a better player, an ascending player, that Mayo could turn it on. Like any of these guys, there's a lot of potential here. There's a lot of talent here. So therefore, the over my head thing or over their head thing, I don't know. It wouldn't, you and I wouldn't have felt so weird about, with Helsley healthy, with a full arsenal, not Westberg, but the rest of this. We could look at this and say, yeah, when they were playing great back, well, early June, was it? When did they go on their little run that they were
It was
eight,
right.
eight and three, whatever it was?
Well, you're going to take the wind out of my sail here a little bit, because the point I was just going to make about them is they had the 10-4 stretch.
Ten and
Remember,
four.
they came home from the sweep down at the Trop, and they were 8 under that, and they came home May 22nd, I think
But
it
they didn't
was.
play 10-4, and you and I were like, well, they're not this good.
Well,
We're
no,
like,
but
hey, finally,
right. Well, but here's my next point. They had the 10-4 stretch, and you're saying, all right, you're back to 2 games under .500. Now this is where. Just start playing more consistent baseball. You don't have to rip off, like, you don't have to go 15-2. Just win 2 out of 3. Split, win 2 out of 3, right? I mean, like, do that. Well, since that 10-4 stretch, Nestor, they've gone 9-15 and they've won one of their last 8 series, the Dodgers series. I mean, that's literally the only
that ends your
series they've
seat.
won
If you
since
would have
then.
told me that a month ago they were going to go 9-15, I'd say on the 4th of July we're going to
They're
be reading last rites to them at
pretty
Fadley's on
close,
next
yeah.
Friday, or just going to do football.
Yeah,
Just gonna, hey man, it's football season. I
so
mean,
so
and I
so
who's their all-star, by the way? I had Seth Elkin from the lottery on. He and I were goofing around because he loves baseball. He's a Pirate, suffering Pirates fan. Like, so every year he's like, that's my problem. Every year we never know who our all-star is. And I'm thinking, this is a year where I literally looked up and down the roster and I thought, who's truly worthy?
yeah, I mean, like, look, are there a couple guys having good seasons? Sure. I would say Adley Rutschman would be in that conversation. He's missed a lot of time, though, right? I mean, he's had two IL stints. And now one of them is a concussion, and I'm not blaming him for that. That was a freak thing that happened. But you'd look at Rutschman.
He fits the suit. I mean,
I would also
right?
could you make I look, would I make the argument that Pete Alonso's been one of the two best first basemen in the American League? Probably not, but his numbers are at least representative to the point where we know every team has to have a rep. You could take Pete Alonso, right? Heck, while we're at it, I mean, Brandon Young's pitched so well. Why not say Brandon Young, right? If we're talking about guys that you just have to take, you have to take one. So, but just to go back to what we were just talking about for a moment, and you talking about the merit of can they go on a run? Can they get white hot? Not just red hot, but white hot for 2 or 3 weeks.
I don't
I would
think
say,
so. No, I
no,
don't.
no.
No, I don't believe anymore. You stopped believing a month ago.
Here's what I would say.
Right.
Here's what I would say. It's baseball, so I would say yes. But then you know what I would fully expect right after that? A similar crash and burn, right? Because that's what we just witnessed over the last 6 weeks. They had a really good stretch, the kind of stretch they needed, and now they've completely fallen back, right back to where they were. Only now there's six fewer weeks on the calendar to make up hay, right? To get better, to narrow the gap, so
Well,
to
eight
speak.
under in May
So
is not eight under in July.
that's what I'm saying. I mean,
Right.
like you can sit here and say, okay, well, they played 500 balls since then. Well, that's not the goal, right? I mean, that was kind of my point last year when, remember, they got off to such a horrible, horrible start, right? I mean, from late April through the 3rd week of May, they were an absolute disaster. That's why Brandon Hyde lost his job. From that point on, they played okay baseball, in a vacuum, sure, but that wasn't going to cut it, right? You can't just take out those first 50 games. That's not how this works. So you look at it and say, all right, since May 20th, they've played 500 baseball. Well, yeah, but you can't, you don't get to just cherry pick the good times and take out the bad times. So that's what I would say to that. Are they capable of going on another 10-4 stretch? Let's just leave it at that. Yeah, of course. Because we already saw it. It's baseball. But at the same time, I kind of look at the full body of work, and it's not just that they're 8 games under 500, but look at their schedule over the course of the season. They started out, March they were 2-3. April, 13-13. So let's just put those 2 months together. So they were 15-18 in March and April. May, 13-16. June, 11-16. I mean, there's nothing trending up in that when you look month by month. Yeah, they got worse. They were worse in June than they were in May, right? So, I mean, you just look at this thing and say, what's going to be consistent enough for them to really go on the kind of run that they need at this point in time? I'll hear the starting pitching, even with the what we acknowledge with Bradish, right? In terms of probably needing to massage his workload a little bit here or there.
You could talk me into Bradish, Rogers, this being good enough. You could totally talk me into that.
But the defense, no. I mean, other than Colton Cowser and Adley Rutschman and Pete Alonso, their defense not even close to good enough. The bullpen now, Helsley, we assume is at least going to go back on the IL, even if he's not out for the year. Who knows what's going to happen there? Keegan Aiken's on the IL, so not that he's been a big part of their high leverage picture. But, Rico Garcia has trended in the wrong direction over the last month, right? So the bullpen doesn't feel strong enough on top of the defense being woeful. And let's call a spade a spade. And I've talked about this a lot going back to the beginning of last year. Their offense isn't consistent enough. Just isn't. Okay. They had a nice day on Wednesday, but look at the course of this homestand, right? I mean, they had some. Boz was pretty darn good on Monday night. I get it. The defense and the bullpen melted down late. They didn't score runs in that game, though, right? I mean, they go look at them over the last couple of weeks where we've talked about them falling back. Their offense has been inconsistent at best. Are you going to suddenly have that lineup from, and not that you need all nine guys in the lineup to hit, but you need more than one or two. Are you going to get that consistently for 3 weeks or whatever, big run you have left in you, if you have one in you? That's where I look at this thing and it just it just feels lacking in way too many areas. And that's before we even get into, some of what you've talked about in terms of the big picture items, and the organization as a whole, but just doesn't feel good enough. How about the optics? We haven't even touched on this yet, but how about the optics of everything that Mike Elias said on Saturday, right? Talking about going for it, wanting to be a buyer, all of that. Say what you want about Mike Elias. You and I have had plenty of things to criticize. Neither one of us has a high opinion of him moving forward and whether he should continue, anyone in this organization at this point, not just him, but Sig, and go down the list of all the lieutenants and everyone in the front office. But how about the idea? Just think about this in terms of the here and now. He gives his team a vote of confidence, saying, "I still believe in these guys. I still, I'm still planning on buying. I still think this team has what it takes to make a run. We're still right there in the wild card picture." And what did this club proceed to do then? Immediately, they lose four games in a row. I mean, at some point in time, look, accountability starts with Elias and ownership because they're his boss ultimately. But at some point in time, players got to go out there and play, right? Look, do I think the Orioles have the best coaching staff in baseball? No, I don't think that, right? At the same time, you can't tell me that every single team and every single player in baseball needs to have the absolute best coaching, or he's going to be woefully inadequate at what he does. At some point in time, doesn't the talent have to play, right? At some point in time, doesn't the cream rise to the top? I mean, my goodness. I mean, we talked about this a lot with Lamar Jackson, right? Earlier in his career, I mean, with Greg Roman, and whether Greg Roman was good enough, and talking about Greg Roman hitting his own ceiling in San Francisco or in Buffalo or with the Chargers most recently. But Lamar Jackson was still an MVP quarterback with Greg Roman as his OC, right? So it speaks to the fact that Lamar was such a great player that even if he didn't have the absolute best coaching, it didn't matter because he was so great, right? So I look at this and say, I'm not going to give the players a pass here either, right? It's fine if you want to make Mike Elias the biggest culprit. I would agree with that because ultimately the buck stops with him running baseball ops. At the same time, there aren't nearly enough individuals that you can identify right now as being part of the solution, right? Who exactly, like, let's say right now, hypothetical exercise, that the Orioles move on from Mike Elias, by the end of the season, and let's put the lockout, all of that aside. We're just talking in terms of new general manager coming in, identifying what needs to be fixed, identifying who are your pile divers, to use a Buck Showalter expression from years back. Who exactly are the pile divers on this team? Beyond talking, okay,
Well, they think Pete Alonso's
well,
one.
he's under contract, right? He's under
Gunnar Henderson
contract.
better be one.
Well,
Rutschman was a 1-1. Holiday's a 1-1. Of all the guys in the world, you pick them to be your pile divers, dog. Come on now. And Elias is running this show. This is.
but who's proven themselves to look, Pete Alonso's going to be here the next 4 years.
Proven pile diver? None of them. I have people writing to me saying they should be fighting on the field back after getting headhunted a couple of weeks ago by the Blue Jays or everyone. Like in a general sense that this team isn't tough. I ain't playing all that because if they gave me a press pass, I'd have to go in and tell Pete Alonso he's not a tough guy. But they don't. There's nothing about them. They don't impress me. No,
Well,
and I'm individually. You're talking about pile divers. If I had to start a team from scratch right now, we had to start the whole thing from scratch. Forget the money, forget money bags and Rubenstein and Arrighetti and Elias and Brady Anderson and John Angelos and Dan Duquette. Anybody who was involved in any of this,
right.
because Dean Kramer came through the Dan Duquette school, right? Forget all of that. Let's play the role of John Harbaugh going into the Giants, and let's be,
Yeah, that was kind of my point. Like, who's
Let's
on the
go in and
list?
say, what's here that we like and what's here that we don't like? And I'll tell you what, if they hired you and me, they're going to hire somebody like you and me, somebody from the outside.
Boy, they'd be in trouble if they hired us.
Well, if they
Go
hire
ahead.
you and me
I'm
right
just kidding.
now, no, but if they hire you and me right now, we would have our opinions, having witnessed, watched this. Just I'm watching on TV, you're watching with our media pass there at the ballpark. What do you take? What do you want for the next 3 years for your baseball team? And at what cost? Okay. I mean,
Yeah.
not Kyle Bradish at $28 million a year. I need him. I
Again,
believe in him.
Bradish would be
I
an
believe in
absolute
him.
yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Rodgers, not yet. I'm going to go to the
I
market
mean,
with that money first.
he's in a walk year.
Yeah,
Yeah,
I'm
I
going to go to the
mean,
market with that money.
yeah.
Brandon Young's done enough to make me real pleased to think like, me,
I feel
hey.
like he would be my new Dean Kramer. I'm hoping.
I'm
Like
going to say the
that would be
same
my
thing.
vision.
I
That
was
would
going to
be my
say the
vision,
same thing.
as like my number four or number five starter, right?
I don't even want to
Not
talk about relief pitchers because they're disposable. I mean, no offense
I
to
mean,
Wisdo Garcia,
I don't
they're
really know
disposable.
who I don't really know.
Yeah.
I mean, hypothetically, if you could tell me Felix Bautista
When
is
you and I
coming
become
back.
the Mike Flanagan and Jim Duquette of the operation or Jim Beattie of the operation, when we're the two-headed monster, we'll have a discussion about the bullpen, but let's table that till Monday. We'll talk about that after the holiday. But in a general, after Jackson Holiday, how about Jackson Holiday? How about Bisaio? You want Bisaio? I'll take Bisaio, but he's going to be a first baseman or a DH. Like, yeah, I'll tell you that right now. Give him anything you want. He's 21 years old. I'm looking at him. He's already fought with the manager about something that nobody seems to know anything about. It might have, I don't know. I'd take Bisaio, and I'd have to take Bisaio if I take the team over because we're getting his contract either way. But, like, I wouldn't take Colton Cowser. I wouldn't take Adley Rutschman. We did a whole segment on that the other day about his age and where he is. We're stuck with Alonso, but I wouldn't take him. I wouldn't start, especially with Bisaio in first base, like blocking first base for 5 years with all that money. It wouldn't be my choice. It wasn't anybody else's choice. This was the team that gave him all the money. He, you know what I mean? There weren't five other teams banging on him saying, come play first base for $150 million. This franchise needed Pete Alonso, or thought it did. Thought it did. On and off the field, good guy, like all they needed that, right? I don't know, dude. I wouldn't take Kobe Mayo. I don't know that I'd take Jackson Holiday 1-1 over again. I know you would bitch about taking Rhett Rutschman. You bring up Bobby Witt because it didn't. You would have taken someone else. I don't know, man. If I had to start the team again, there's five or six guys, seven. There are a handful of guys here that I really would begin from scratch. No strike, flat line, you and me running the team. If I really walked in and said, who do we really think's going to be in the lineup in 2028, 7-8, end of next year, if we're good enough? I don't know, man. That I'm down on the talent in a way that I was up on the Bassetts and Eflins and Helsleys and, that sort of thing that was going to mix in with superstars. Super Holiday. Rutschman, Henderson, superstars. Alonso, import a superstar, right? That's what this, that was the formula for this. That's not where we are, dude. Not even close. Not even
Yeah,
close.
I mean, look, I'm not going to sit here and say that there aren't some decent ball players in this group, right? I mean, a lot of the names you just mentioned,
I love Blaze out. He can play on my team. You got to have those guys.
but to your point, who are you excited about moving forward? Bisaio, look, he still has some maturing to do, and I'm not even necessarily talking about whatever went on with him and
By the
Albernaz,
way, do you
just in.
know what went on between him and Albernaz or no? You
I
know, I'm looking at you.
no,
You know something.
no, I really don't, because I've heard some conflicting stuff.
Okay.
I think he's young. I think he has a lot on his plate. I've even looked at, and there've even been some analytics, some nerdy looks at this kind of stuff. It's a pretty challenging thing for a young player to DH a lot. Like, we think about it in terms of like, oh, well, you're just chilling in the dugout, right? And like, it's one thing if it's a David Ortiz type who does it because like that's kind of his only choice, right? You burn your glove. Harold Baines at a certain point in his
Edgar
career.
Martinez.
But I think for someone who's 21 and being in a position where he's catching a lot, but also DHing, and like, there's more to that than you think in terms of just the challenge of that. I just think there's a lot on his plate. I think he's really talented. I still would bet on him to be a really impressive hitter. I'm
That's where I
not.
would take him, right? I mean,
Yeah.
of the
No,
guys I'm gonna take, I'll take
but
him,
I'm saying
but he's
I'm
not
ex
gonna be, he's not gonna catch for me 3 years from now, I don't
I mean, I
think.
would say this.
Not gonna be a 25-year-old catcher. And if he can't be a 25-year-old catcher, what's he gonna be? We're not inventing positions here.
I would say this. I don't think I would say he's not going to catch. However, I'm not going to say that he's going to catch 130 games a year. He would be my number two catcher, like a well-defined, okay, he's going to catch
48 games,
once or
52
twice a
games,
week,
right.
and he's going to play first base 4 or 5 times a week, right? That would be
He doesn't like
in a ve
DHing. Is that what I'm getting
I
out of
mean, I
this?
don't
It's
know.
not serving him
I
well.
mean, I don't know if it's that he doesn't like it. I just think it's there's a lot for him that's going on. Catching at age 21 in the majors in and of itself is
The
challenging.
amount of study you have to do for
It's so
pitchers
much, man.
and
Like,
hitters.
even
It's
more so than
the biggest
20,
job,
30 years
and
ago.
I don't know that fans really. I was a catcher when I was a kid. My dad wanted me to
I
be a
mean, that's
catcher. No, I'm just saying.
right.
Like,
That's not the same. Right. It's not the same
I'm
thing. I
just
mean, it's.
saying. When I caught, I played short. Like, I loved catching because you were in the game. And once I started catching, I didn't want to not catch. Be
Yeah.
honest, even I got beaten up, and
Yeah.
I was a wussy kid. I'm not lying,
But there
But like,
wasn't
I
much mental
liked.
prep, you know? Like
No,
it was
no, no.
the yeah.
I'm just saying, I caught as a, and then I covered baseball for
Sure.
25 years. And
And
I
you
knew every Jeff
realize
Tackett and Chris. I didn't realize it then, dude.
it's wild how
That's
much
what I'm
work there is.
saying to you
Yeah.
is Johnny Oates was a manager and was a catcher. I was in his office every day for 3 years. I covered baseball for 25 years. I sat and talked to Tony Gwynn and Doug, and I did it. I respect it more now than when Angelos took my press pass 20 years ago. Because I know how analytical the game has gotten, how that it's not everybody's out ass chasing, grabbing, drinking all night, boozing up, doing all the stuff that I remember 30 years ago, because the game has changed dramatically for homework and study. And Luke, I would tell you this because I know we're rambling, it's 4th of July, but when the football team got here and Marvin took me out for that seminal moment in his office where he had these three-ring binders. I mean, the giant binders with the Steelers defense, and he just coached in the Super Bowl, and he threw it down. 1996, this is, okay? This is spring of 96. So this is Angelos owns the team. The Orioles are going into their own. They just hired Davey Johnson. They had a meltdown with Regan. We're through the strike. Ripken's through the streak, in the streak. Robbie Alomar's coming. We're about to get really good. Camden Yards is nuts. I'm at the ballpark every night. We barely have a football team. When the football team came, and Ted was an old senile man at the time, no, and everybody loves knows I love Ted, and he was 1958 Johnny Unitas kind of football. Marvin was, oh, we have these laptops. And Preston was so impressed by Brian Billick that he called him CompuCoach, which was always his looking down upon technology, which is speaks to who Mike Preston is, who I'm not a fan of. But nonetheless, 25 years later, 30 years later, when I covered sports from 96, when I was syndicated at the turn of the century, I was in and out of locker rooms, basketball. I always thought basketball had some science about it in a way that 11 or 12 guys and the locker room drawing up on boards, and when coaches would come and huddle and they would draw a play in basketball. Baseball didn't have any of that. I covered baseball intimately, much more intimately than really I ever covered football. I'm talking about 4 in the morning and setting up in Fort Lauderdale, being there. Never shown up at Owings Mills and been there at 5 in the morning and been there all day, every maybe training camp, but like in a general sense, the work day of a baseball player, and it was striking to me, Luke. So you were 12 years old at the time, and I'm doing a little, not get off my lawn. I'm doing what I'm built to do as a 60-year-old, 4-decade sports radio host, is teach people something that I got taught the hard way, which is ignorance, right? In 1996, I remember, I may have said this on the air here when I got the station around that time, 97, 98. It was astonishing to me how intellectual football was in regard to how you thought they were just big, dumb athletes, a couple years of college, big, dumb guys, and whatever. And they spent 98% of their time in a classroom or in study before they had iPads, before they had that sort of technology, football was always working off film. Football was working off film in 1965. You go back and watch NFL films, they had reels and film and North Dallas 40 and studying film. First guy to ever study film in baseball was Tony Gwynn on a little VHS machine in the back while he's hitting 370 or whatever, because it just wasn't done. There was a
Right.
film room and some guys would go in and look at it. Some guy, old school guy, said, "I don't need to see that. I don't even want to see that. I'm Aubrey Huff. See ball, hit ball. Shithole." So, I mean, that was 15 years ago. That wasn't far back. Modern baseball, and you know who blew my mind? And I know you know this. Jack Del Rio's best friend in life was a baseball manager who I befriended, and he spent hours with me. I mean, we spent time together in modern baseball, and he brought me up to speed, and Gary Kendall and people that I know that, like, oh, no, this isn't we're smoking cigarettes and drinking coffee in the pitcher's coaching room the way it was 30 years ago and coming in hungover. And Davey Johnson shows he's the last guy to show up in the clubhouse, which pissed Angelos off because he didn't feel like he had anything to do. Now, playing golf all day. I only played 9 holes today because it was 100 degrees. I mean, that's what baseball was 30 years ago. It ain't that anymore.
No.
At all, at all, at all, at all. And that really, the catcher position. Of all of that, I think back and scratch my head. What would Johnny Oates, who was a catcher, or any of those managers back in the day, that Bob Melvin types, right? That played in that
That's why
era.
so many of them become managers, right? I mean,
Of
they're the ones. I
course,
mean,
of
and think
course.
about
And
like just think,
Albernez being another one of them,
yeah,
right?
but think about Basayo, and I'm not saying this to make an excuse. This is to just think about it in these terms. The amount of prep you do as a catcher, you need to know 13 pitchers on your staff at any given time. And really, you need to know everyone on the 40-man roster, right? That's a pitcher, because we know in modern baseball, someone could be called, Josh Walker's called up because you need an extra bullpen arm. Albert Suarez is DFA'd and re-signed and he's back, right? I mean, like all that kind of stuff that goes on. But you need to know all your pitchers. You need to know all 13 hitters for whoever you're playing over the course of that night and
And
that
righty
series.
lefty matchup,
All that kind of
all of that.
every pitcher's repertoire, how it plays, what are the trends, what hitters hit what
But it
pitches
becomes
best.
very exponential when the
But the
count's 2-1 and you're trying to figure
sure.
out, I got a lefty righty matchup. I'm in the seventh inning. It's 112 friggin' degrees out
They've
here.
gone through
I
all the
just
games.
got my nuts hit with a tip, a foul tip, right? Like, yeah, I'm 0 for 3 today and
Well, I was
I
just going
can't
to
even
say.
see the ball. Like, and now it's the eighth inning. I got two guys on. It's 2-1. A relief pitcher comes in. We're going to sub in a lefty righty matchup. Dude, it is really, really complex. So
It's
I
a lot.
that was my long-winded way of saying boom to that, to a 21-year-old kid who you expect to be Johnny Bench or think like Jim Palmer or Ben McDonald or thinking in the booth while we're watching the game.
Right. And you have to know all that. And now, granted, they have bigger coaching staffs than they used to have, right? And they are helping with all that prep. But there's all that. And then, oh, yeah. That guy who's a catcher, especially if you're talking about someone like the Orioles catchers who are expected to be a meaningful part of their offense as well, they need to know the 13 opposing pitchers that they're going to come up and potentially hit against over the course of 9 innings, right? So it's a lot. And that's
It's
where
a
I would.
lot different than thinking of me being with Jeff Tackett 35 years ago and him just, I got to catch some bullpen. You
Yeah.
know what I mean? Like, it just felt like, no, and I love Tack. I loved all those, but
And they.
it, and they didn't have a small job being a catcher in
Right. I mean, there was
1995,
still advanced
but the
scouting and everything,
video
but
and just all of the information
it's
that these
exploded.
cats want to download onto a catcher. And the expectations that Colton Cowser is going to be ready for anybody to come out of the bullpen in any circumstance when they start platooning these guys, it Fs them all up because then they just don't see a right-hander, they don't see a left-hander,
Yeah, how
and
do you
then
get
they
better?
how do you get all
Right.
of that? Well, we don't need you to get better. We just need you to get your Well, hey, I want to get contract. Well, you're a part-time player. So I don't know what happened with Basayo and Albernez, which is where all this began. But I'm with you. Basayo would be one of the guys that I would take, but they don't have enough guys on their team that I would take to think that they're an ascending franchise in any way right now. In any way,
Yeah,
they don't smell that way.
I mean, there are guys I would take, but who am I really excited about? Basayo, I'm still excited about. Now, he's got things he needs to continue to get better with. And part of what you just said, I actually think he's looked better as a catcher. I've seen growth there. Not talking about the Albernez thing, like
Well, I
just
think
in
he's probably
terms of,
working really hard at it. He
right,
wants to
that's
be
what
a
I'm saying,
catcher.
right? So I see an aptitude there, and that's why I said I want to give up on him as a catcher. I don't know if I ever see him as a catch guy who's going to catch 130 games and be the guy behind the
And you
plate
might not want him to be that guy because his bat's
because
so
the bat
valuable.
has the upside, right? I mean, I can think back to when Matt Wieters was drafted, right? I mean, we're going back almost, it's hard to believe Matt Wieters was drafted 19 years ago. Think about that for a second. That's kind of wild to think about. Because I remember that so vividly. But remember, there was such a thought and such an expectation for his bat that never materialized, mind you. But the idea was, well, if he hits and he's everything that the Orioles want him to be and everything baseball
28
wants him to
home
be,
runs,
oh, he can
112
move to first
RBIs.
base and all. The bat never profiled in a way that would have justified him playing first base. Frankly, Adley Rutschman's bat hasn't really shown the consistent ability that would make him, oh, move him to first base. Bisaio, I think, has the power potential that you see at age 21, acknowledging everything we just mentioned that's on his plate, where you just say, I don't know, in a vacuum, if you make him a first baseman full time, he might be a guy that hits 35. He might be Pete Alonso from the left side of the plate, right? So that's where it's a little bit different.
I
But
think he is, by the way.
I mean, it very well could be that.
I would think he's going to hit 35 home runs,
I mean, he's
but
got 12.
not as a 135 game catcher.
Probably not. I mean, it's so difficult to do that. My goodness. I mean, like, you're talking about, I mean, even,
You're a
okay,
Hall of Famer if you do
I
that.
mean, Cal Raleigh did it last year. Cal Raleigh did what he did last year. Is Cal Raleigh going to do that every year? Well, we're already seeing the answer is no this year because, he's been hurt and hasn't been as good. But yeah, I mean, just to go back to the, to our overall exercise here. Are there guys I'd take? Of course. Like for example, and you and I have talked about this guy a lot the last couple of years. I see Colton Cowser still as a useful major league player, right? He's a good defensive outfielder. I think a platoon bat, fine. But that's not what they drafted him to be, right? I mean, that's not the fifth overall pick of the draft. What your vision is in terms of big picture. Look, I think Jackson Holliday is on his way to being a solid major league player. I'd be lying to you though if I
Does not
see
feel like
him.
an aircraft carrier.
I'd be lying to you if I'm seeing him flash the kind of traits that say, "Oh wow, that's the one." Oh my goodness! In the way that, and I know this is an unfair comparison because this guy's very well probably on his way to the Hall of Fame. Manny Machado at age 20 was not the guy that became an MVP candidate eventually, but you saw traits right away where you said, this guy's got some special talents. I don't see that in Holiday, and I hope I'm wrong. Look, I've no agenda against him. He's
Dude, we've
22,
been watching it for
but
a year and a half now, and I feel similarly. I
I mean,
feel
it's
that way
just,
about Craig Albernaz as being the next Earl Weaver as well. And not that
yeah.
everybody has to be the next Earl Weaver, but I don't see it. I just
Yeah,
don't
I
see it.
just,
I
but I
don't see
just,
it.
by just as a whole, though, looking at this team, and this kind of goes, I'll leave you with this, and it's the point I made a few minutes ago. Look, the buck stops with Elias. I think everyone is on a very similar page as it pertains to that. We'll see if ownership is on that same page, right? But I think everyone who's watching this is acknowledging this hasn't worked for 2 years now. And you've changed variables and you've changed some variables and you brought in some different players and you have different coaches and a different manager, and it still feels broken, right? For whatever the and I don't think it's one reason. I think it's a number of reasons. But I just, I look at this thing, and again, Mike Elias on Saturday, he gave those were words that I think were meant for hit inside the clubhouse as much as anyone to say, we still believe in you guys. And then they lose four in a row and looked pretty bad doing it, doing the things that we've seen them do, bad teams do. Man, that just.
Getting booed at home, you got anything on that?
I'll say what I always say about booing. Look, in a vacuum, do I think there's anything all that constructive about it? No, not really. Can I sit here and blame anyone? I've watched the same product everyone else has the last 2 years. Fans are frustrated. I understand that because it goes back to, it wasn't a contract, but it kind of felt like a contract, right? When Mike Elias arrived, he didn't mince any words. He acknowledged this is going to be ugly for a while. And everyone understood that at that point in time in 19, 20, 21, right? Everyone understood that. Wasn't easy to watch. My goodness, it wasn't easy to watch. But I think we understood that. And there was a thought that there is going to be a payoff coming. And we thought it was coming because of draft picks and farm system rankings and top 100 prospects and all of those different things. And it looked like it was coming to fruition for about 2 calendar years. It was fun. Midway through 22, through that day at Yankee Stadium in 24, that was a fun time.
I said to my
Playoff
wife in
disappointment
the
aside.
parking lot of Planet Fitness 2.5, 2 years ago, I said, "This is the best the team has ever been, the franchise." And Rubenstein had just taken, I like all of that. He was just Angelos was gone, ding dong, the witches, that, like it was, and then it's over.
But I think because that ended up being so fleeting, I think fans, there's a sense of betrayal that's felt that, like, you guys didn't live, like, this isn't what was advertised. This was supposed to be pain, 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 and then prosperity for a long
But it's
time.
sports. You can't guarantee that.
You can't, but at the same time, if you're going to crash and burn,
You get
there need
held
to be
accountable.
consequences.
Yeah,
Yeah.
here's accountability
So
right here.
you look at this thing and it's 4th of
The
July
accountability. He's
ability.
booing, empty stadium, all of that. That's the
Yeah,
accountability.
no doubt. So we're gonna look. Is it over yet? No, but boy, it's feeling like OVE at this point in time if over were a game of horse, right? I mean,
And look, I see Lamar Jackson. He's right there. He's right there.
we are what, 3.5 weeks, 4 weeks
Well, I
out from the
want you to
start of
put your
22?
toes in the water. Are you hot dogs or hamburgers on the floor? What are you?
I mean, I love both, right?
All right,
I'll have some
one
of
of
both,
each.
but
All right, good,
I'll
good.
tell you what I like. I don't know if
Watermelon.
no, to address this is more of a PA thing. Smoked hot dogs with the casings.
Half smokes, smoke
They're
hot dogs.
smoked hot dogs. Like there's a brand here. I don't want to give free advertising, but there's a brand, a local brand that I love. That's my favorite hot dog in the world. The smoked hot dogs.
You
It's
have a
Seacrest
favorite hot
Frank's.
dog.
Yeah, it's good.
All
I'll have to
right.
hook you up sometime just so you can try it and see what you think.
You
'Cause
know,
it's my favorite hot dog.
some of us haven't had the free press box weenies lately. So, Luke Jones is here. It's 4th of July. I hope everybody enjoys their hot dogs and hamburgers. Sorry the Heritage Fair is not this weekend. It was last weekend because that's sort of my jam being the Dundalk guy all these years. But stay cool out there. I am wearing my Farnan and Dermer gear here in the American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning gear because, like, it's hot as Hades. But the good news is, if anything happens, it's one phone call, same day service, 410-367-7777. Zach spent some time with us last week at Greenmount Station. You'll hear him out here on the air and find him in the good looking orange shirts here that dresses me nicer than Greg Bader dresses Kevin Brown. I'll tell you that right now. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We'll be at Fadley's next Friday, and then we're going to give Luke some time off, and we'll send me to Philadelphia for the All-Star game. Let freedom ring. 4th of July. Happy 250, America. Woohoo!